morning. Nice to see a good number out today. We had a lovely weekend the Lord has given to us. The sun isn't shining quite so bright today, but it's still a nice day out there. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Job chapter 22. Job chapter 22. And this morning we're going to look at five different scriptures, and we're going to look at a little word with three letters. The little word is now. And when we see the word now, or someone says now, what does it mean to you and I? Does it not speak about urgency? Does it not mean now? It doesn't mean tomorrow. It doesn't mean yesterday. It doesn't mean a week down the road. It means right now. And each one of the scriptures, and we're going to look at five if we have time, and we're going to see the word now, N-O-W, in each one of these scriptures. It means urgency. Look at the first one in Job chapter 22. And verse 21, and we're going to read three verses here, but we're just going to look at the verse we're looking at is in verse 21. It says this, acquaint now thyself with him. And it says with him, it means with God. And be at peace, therefore good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thy heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up, thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Verse 21, acquaint now thyself with God and be at peace. If you're not saved this morning, you do not have any peace. The Bible clearly tells us that in a number of verses and scriptures. You do not have peace. What does the word acquaint thyself with God mean? Many people, as one of our brothers this morning mentioned in the morning meeting, that we are separated from God by our sins. And if you went to to Isaiah, I believe 59, you would see that you have been separated. It says from God by your sins, by your iniquities. Separation means you have been come apart from God. And here in this verse, we says, acquaint now thyself with God and be at peace. Saying something that totally opposite, isn't it? To be an acquaintance with someone is get to know them, is it? Get to know them. Get to know someone whom they were a stranger to you. Acquaint now thyself with him. It means urgency, acquaint yourself with God. And back in 1982, I acquainted myself with God through his son, Jesus Christ, because that is the only way we can acquaint ourselves with God. Sinners have no peace. Turn, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 20 and 21. It says in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 20 and 21, but the wicked, or the unsaved, are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And if you're saved this morning, look back before you were saved and tell me how much peace you had in your life. I was 31 before I was saved. I did not have total peace. I was clawing and scratching after everything in this world to try and satisfy myself, like you are if you're not saved this morning. Just a couple of weeks ago, there was a young lady, 27 years old. And what caught my attention was, as it was on the internet and on the paper, was she was a troubled soul. What we just read in Isaiah 57, the wicked are like the what? The troubled sea. Did you ever see a troubled sea? One when there's a storm on, and you see the waves and billows. I was in Newfoundland one weekend, and my friend, there came up a storm, and I bet you there were 35, 40-foot waves. And they were smashing against those great rocks in Newfoundland coastline. That is a troubled sea, and it says, and they cast up mire and dirt. On July 23rd, 2011, that was a couple weeks ago, a young lady called Amy Winehill took her life. She took her life. She had no peace in her life. It said she was a troubled little person. She was hooked on alcohol, on drugs, and she took her life. Why? Because there was no peace in her life. She had a unique voice. She was a jazz blues singer. It was a unique voice, a beautiful voice. But this young girl was troubled in her heart, in her soul. And the devil made sure that she took her life. She was 27 years old until July 23rd. Time ran out for her and eternity began. And I ask you this morning, where is she this morning? You see the urgency of that little word now? Acquaint now thyself with him, with God, and be at peace, and good shall come unto thee. That's what the scripture says, and it says that so many different places. You went to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. It says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. All kinds of verses in the Bible. Come now. Not tomorrow. Because Amy Winehouse was too late, wasn't she? She was too late. One person on Twitter said this, may her troubled soul find peace. After she died, not a chance. God has given you and I, as I mentioned many times before, he has given us a span of life. And it's what we do in that time frame, for him or not for him, is going to count in eternity. And my friend, you can be sitting here this morning and you can fool me, you can fool your neighbor, you can fool your family, just like Judas fooled every one of those disciples. And he died and he went to hell. In fact, he kissed the door to heaven and went to hell. Right on the cheek. How close he was. And yet, how far away he was. A sinner has no peace. If you went to Romans, you would see also in Romans chapter 3 and verse 17, there was a whole list of sins. And it says, and the way of peace have they not known. Speaking about those who are not saved. And I did not have any peace for 31 years. And I know that. But a sinner can have peace, may have peace. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. We know what it says. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. You can have peace right now, right where you sit. The big thing is to believe what Jesus Christ has done for you at Calvary's cross. It says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 4, 1, it says, therefore, being justified, acquitted of your sins, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can have peace with God right where you sit this morning by putting your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done for you on Calvary's cross. That's what I did. On December 22nd, 1982, I finally came to myself. I took my rightful place. I said, Lord, I am the sinner who put you on that cross. Not one of the sinners. I am the sinner. I agree with you. And I agree that your son died for my sin. And because I believe that, I come into the good of his shed blood, his death on Calvary's cross, and therefore I am saved. Why? Because God says it. That's what faith is. The word faith means trust. It means to believe. All same root word. Faith, trust, believe. And God doesn't ask you to behave. He doesn't ask you to be a good little girl or a good little boy. He asks you to believe something. He asks you to believe that you're a sinner. You're not fit for God's heaven. You are separated by your sins and your sins only and your iniquity. And you need to get that right. You need to be brought back to God. You need to be reconnected with God. And how can you do that? It's through his son, Jesus Christ, because he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no woman, no child cometh unto the Father but through me. Jesus Christ is your ticket. He is your connection to God. And he's the only one. It's not religion. It's not coming to this chapel every Sunday. It's not being a good boy or girl. It's not being somebody good in your community. It's not giving money. It is having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Have you acquainted yourself with him? I was speaking to a gentleman who was renting one of my apartments the other day, and he started cursing and swearing and using a foul mouth. He says, yeah, I believe I'm going down there. He says, but I believe in God. Whew. And there's a lot of people today saying, I believe in God. But you know what? They do not believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you don't believe in God, no matter what you say. Because you can't go around Jesus Christ and get to God. You must go through Him. Even as Christians, Jesus Christ is our access to Him. Through prayer, Jesus Christ, we must pray in His name. Jesus Christ is our connection to God. Have you ever been to Calvary by faith? Have you ever viewed this person we were talking about this morning who died for your sins? This one who is God, and He came down and became a man, and He allowed men, creatures like you and I, to spit in His face and to crucify Him? Did He have to do that? No, He didn't, but He said He would because He loved us. And that day in December 22nd, I realized that Jesus Christ, God the Son, died for my sins. And I said, thank you, Lord Jesus, for making provision for me and for dying for my sins. Thank you. And I receive that gift. I will receive eternal life because I believe your Son died for me. Sinners can have peace. Turn to a beautiful verse and mark it in your Bible, Isaiah 32 and verse 17. Isaiah 32 and verse 17. This is when a person becomes saved. Look what it says. And the work of righteousness. That has a twofold meaning. The work of righteousness is when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross. He took my place. He paid my penalty so that I could be made righteous. And the work of righteousness, that is also the moment I believed the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a work of righteousness done in my life. I became right in the sight of God because I believed in His Son. It says this, and the work of righteousness shall be what? Peace. Rest. And listen to what it says, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. My friends, when you see a person that is saved, you will see all those things in their lives. Quietness, assurance, even if they go through a tremendously troubled time of sickness and other things in their lives. There is peace and there's quietness and there's assurance in their life. Why? Because they have made peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are not saved like Amy Winehouse have no peace. I went on the internet and it showed about probably 15 or 20 different individuals who died at the age of 27. A lot of them were rock stars. Some of them were lead guitarists. Some of them were high-profile sports people. They all died at age 27. It was just making a statement. People who were troubled in their lives and drugs and alcohol and all kinds of different things in their lives, where their lives were in turmoil. They became belligerent. They became almost violent. Like it says, casting up mire and dirt. The troubled waters, and that's what took them to their death. They had no peace in their life. And God says, you can have peace. Now, acquaint now thyself with Him. That's a beautiful verse. Listen to what it says in Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. That's what the Lord will do for you the moment you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's another one after. This is for you and I who are Christians. Listen, we need to be reading. We need to be praying every day of our lives. How many times do we eat a day? Some of us, 4 or 5 times probably. How many times do you read God's Word? The Bible says in the Gospels, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's reading God's Word. That's feeding on His Word. And if you don't eat for 5 or 6 days, what would happen to you physically? What happens to a person who doesn't read for that same amount of time? Become weak and sick, don't they? Look what it says in Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, or the rock of ages. Do you want to be a strong spiritual Christian? Stay in His Word. Listen to His Word. Be like Mary in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 38. She was at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Martha was cumbered about much busyness, wasn't she? We see Mary at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ three different times. We see her also in John chapter 11. First of all, we see her in Luke's Gospel chapter. She was waiting to hear from the Word of God. In John chapter 11, we know her brother died, Lazarus, and we see her at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ there. She was weeping at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see her again in John chapter 12. We see the Lord Jesus Christ when He raised her brother Lazarus, and we see them at their home, and we see Lazarus sitting at the table. We see Martha again busy, which we need to do, we need to serve. But we see Mary again, we see her what? Worshiping at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what we can say about Mary? Four things. She loved her master. She longed to be in His presence. She listened to His word, and she learned how to worship. You want to be a worshiper? Follow Mary's example. That's what God wants for every one of you, of us who are saved this morning, to be in His Word, and we'll be at peace. We'll have a mind that is at peace. Not like Mary Winehouse. We must go on quickly to the next one. I want to look at that little word again now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, and the last part of that verse. We see the word twice, now. What's the word mean? It means urgency. It means now, not tomorrow. Not next week. It means right now. If the Lord is speaking to you, it says this in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is a day of salvation. You'll say, well, I heard that verse so many times, and so did I for 31 years, and it never caught my attention. Turn to Job chapter 14 and verse 1. Lots of scriptures. Job chapter 14 and verse 1 says this, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Ooh, there's that word again. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Just like me. Just like you. Job chapter 7 and verse 1, it says this, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of a hireling or somebody who is hired, a hired man? He has no guarantee. And my friends, you have no guarantee of tomorrow. Absolutely none. And there's another verse in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1 who tells us that. It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Can you say with a surety and with confidence that you know what you're going to do tomorrow? I know you have a plan, and it's good to have a plan, it's good to have goals and so on. But do you know for sure that you'll be here tomorrow? Did Amy Winehouse know that? That July 23rd, her life would come to an end? As far as this earth is concerned? Time would end, and eternity began. Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? No guarantee for tomorrow. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19 says this, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. How many times have you heard the gospel? How many times did I hear the gospel up to age 31? Probably hundreds and hundreds of times. And that's what scared the wits out of me that night. Because I said to myself, the Spirit of God convicted me and said, you know what? This may be your last time. You went to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. It says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. That verse came back to my mind and it haunted me. Maybe this is the last time the Lord is going to be knocking on my heart's door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. And the Lord speaks to every person in this building sometime in their lives, maybe once, maybe twice, maybe a whole bunch of times like He did to me. But there is a point in time when the Lord will stop knocking. Go to Romans chapter 1. When God left those people up to themselves, as it were. He left them to themselves. He left them and gave them over to a reprobate mind, a mind that was void of judgment, couldn't care anymore, couldn't understand, and didn't want to. There's no guarantees for tomorrow. That's why we need to be saved now, right now, in this meeting. I want to say this too. Delay could be very fatal, just like in Amy Winehouse. Is there a verse for that? Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. Mark it in your Bibles. Because you know what? We forget real fast. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1 says this. He that is often reproved or rebuked by the word of God, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Think about that verse. It's not just words. I believe the Word of God is the inspired Word of God. And God says He puts those things there for our learning. He that is often reproved. And that's what scared me again. I said, I have heard the message over and over. I could have told many people how to be saved, but I wasn't saved myself and I knew it. Because I didn't want to be. Until that night in December 22nd, when the Spirit of God got a hold of me and brought me to my knees, just like Paul the Apostle or Saul in Acts chapter 9. Knocked off his high horse, as it were, and brought to his knees, and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ for who he was for the first time. He understood that Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world. He understood that Jesus Christ was the one who could get him to heaven, who could cleanse him from his sins, that he could be forgiven from his sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. The day of salvation is now. No guarantee for tomorrow, and delay could be fatal. We must go on to the next one, repentance now, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Repentance now. What does the word repentance mean? It means a change of mind. And as we see ourselves as we should, it's a Godward change of mind. It's now saying to God, I agree with you. And in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, there's a question asked, and it says this, can two walk together except they be agreed? And my friends, if you're sitting here this morning and you say, I believe in God, and you're not walking with Him because you don't believe the Word of God and you don't read it and anything else, you are not in agreement with Him. And don't tell me that or anyone else. Repentance now is a Godward change of mind. That is a change of mind. That is, if you're not saved, and for 31 years I was walking away from the Lord. I had my back turned to Him until that night in December 22nd. I turned around, I faced God, and I said, God, You're right, I'm wrong. And I now agree with You. That's repentance. If you want a good example, go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and read about the prodigal son. The one who said to his father, who was still alive, he said, give me my inheritance now. What an attitude. And there's people in the world today who have a rotten attitude just like that. They will take everything God will give them and never say a word of thanks. And it said this young man went into a fur country and wasted his substance with riotous living. That was like me. And probably like you if you're not saved this morning. All about me, myself, and I. All about me. And it says that young man began to be in want. His friends, he had thousands of them probably. He wasted all that money, all his inheritance. He had nothing left, no friends. And now he began to be in want. You know that same fellow that said, make or give me? Do you know what he said when he was feeding with the pigs? He started to think back about home, the place he left. He said, you know what? He said, I will arise and I will go to my father. And I will say unto him, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am not worthy to be called thy son. Make me, not give me. He said, make me as one of thy hired servants. And when you get to that point, my friend, God can save you. And that's where I had to get. Before He could save me. That's where you had to get before He saved you over here this morning. Get down on our knees. We have to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I'm the sinner. I don't deserve to be called your son. Do you know what? That young man was restored back to a place where he left. And that's what God wants. Because remember when Adam and Eve sinned, it said God came looking for them to walk with them in the cool of the day. And what were they doing? They were hiding in the trees. They were afraid of him. They were separated from him. And we see that in the chapter 3 of Genesis, where God put them out of the garden that he made for them. And he put a flaming fire and sword there to keep them from coming back in. That is a picture of you and I. We are separated from God. God wants us back to be with him. He wants us to be walking with him. The only way we can be walking with him is to agree with God and to come back and say, like the prodigal son, I have sinned against heaven. I have sinned against God. As my sins have put Jesus Christ on the cross, forgive me for my sins. I want to come back. I'm not worthy to be called your son, but will you save me? He says, yes, I will. What did happen to the father? As soon as the son, even in his mind, he didn't even get out of his mouth, the father came running and fell on his neck and kissed him. And that's what God will do to you the moment you take your rightful place and accept that you are a sinner, that you need to be saved. That is repentance. That's a Godward change of mind. And it says in Acts chapter 16, which we're going to, in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, Paul is speaking at Athens, and he says this: at the times of this ignorance, speaking about the Gentile age, God winked at. But now, he commandeth all men. Does that include you? Everywhere to repent. God wants every single one of us to repent. To have a Godward change of mind. Change your mind. Our thinking. Our thoughts. And I mentioned before that God wants our hearts. And so often we don't understand what that means. Our heart is not the blood pumping organ in our bodies. The heart that God wants is our minds, our wills, and our emotions or our feelings towards him. Our minds, that is what we think. Our attitude, our motives, all those things that we think. Our wills. You say, well, what do you mean by will? When mom or dad ever asked you to do something, have you ever said, I won't? Or I will? Maybe I will. And there's other times when your mom and dad asked you and you said, I will. That is your will. And every single one of us have a strong volition or will. Every one of us. And that will needs to be broken. God wants our minds. He wants our wills. That is, I will, Lord. What did Paul say when the Lord converted him? What wilt thou have me to do? He didn't say, Lord, I don't want to do that. He said, what wilt thou have me to do? That is our will. And what about our emotions? That is how we feel about God. How we feel about his word. Some people say, I believe some of the Bible, but I don't believe it all. I like this portion, but I don't like that one. God, those are the parts that make up our heart that God says. And he says that in Psalms, my son, give me thine heart. Give me your mind, your will, and your emotions and my feelings. God wants it all. And when we get that, we will be saved. Repentance now. Do you know why? Because man's ways are foolish. Turn, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. We know these verses. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Death. What happened to Amy Winehill? She died. A troubled person. The ways of a man. Which seemeth right unto the way. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the way in thereof are the ways of death. And look what it says in Proverbs 12 and verse 15. It says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth on the counsel is wise. And what does God say about a fool in Psalm 14? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The way of a fool. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Does God command every one of us? If it's, we went to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. And every word you read in here is God's promise in his word. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward. I thank God he was long-suffering to me. I could have been killed. I could have had a lot of things happen to me. 31 years, the Lord preserved me. He was long-suffering, and at age 31, he saved me. Because you know why? I went to the door, and I opened it, and I said, come on in. You're welcome into my life. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants every man, woman, a child, over 6.5 or 7 billion people in the world today, God wants every one of them to repent of their sins, to have a Godward change of mind. That's what God wants. God calls all to repentance. We already gave you an example of repentance in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Read it when you go home. The prodigal son. A perfect picture. We must go on quickly to the our last one, probably in Romans chapter 8. Again, thinking about that little word now. There is no condemnation now. Look what it says in Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The moment you were saved, the moment I was saved, I could not be condemned by God anymore. Isn't that tremendous? The moment I was saved, back in 1982, December 22nd, I could never be condemned anymore by God for my sins. If you're saved this morning, you stand in the same place. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You say, well, what about if I'm not saved this morning? Well, you know the answer to that. You're already condemned. Look at John chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. If you're not saved this morning, and for 31 years I was in this very place. It says in John chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, it says this, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Just verifying what we already said. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, verse 19 says, that light is come into the world. Who is that? The light is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know light is the opposite of darkness, don't we? That light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Why did they crucify him? Because he was light, and they were darkness, and they hated that. Because light exposes anything in a dark room. You go into a dark room, and you know what? You go into a dark room, and that place could be filthy, dirty. It could be dust. It could be garbage. Everything. You wouldn't know it if you walked in the complete darkness. But the moment someone turned on the light switch, that would expose that whole room, wouldn't it? You could see all the dirt. You could see all the filth. You could see absolutely everything in that room. And when Jesus Christ came into the world, he exposed the darkness of man's heart and his mind. And men love darkness rather than light, the Bible says. And that's why they crucified him. And my friend, if you're not saved this morning, you are darkness. Why? Go to Ephesians. It says that. Paul says, you were once darkness, but now are you light. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're not saved, you are condemned already. You are condemned already. You went to John chapter 3 and verse 36. What's it say there? John chapter 3 and verse 36. Not only condemned, but under the wrath of God. Listen to what it says. John 3 verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth or hovereth over him. And that's where I was for 31 years. That's where Amy Winehouse was. And she died. We have no reason to believe that she was saved. Maybe she was at the very last moment. My friends, that is a very dangerous thing to try and do. And if she wasn't, she entered eternity under the wrath of God. And guess where she's going to stand someday, as we read in Revelation chapter 19, at the great white judgment throne. And the Bible says in Romans that every mouth will be stopped. Amy Winehouse and everyone else who was there who were never saved will not say a word. Because I believe sometime in Amy's life, if we even look back in her history, probably she had parents, relatives who were saved. She probably heard the gospel. Either that or the word of God spoke to her, the Spirit of God, her conscience, creation itself. She has absolutely no excuse. It says that again in Romans. They are without excuse. That is, the Jews in their head, absolutely no excuse to refuse the Lord Jesus Christ and to be where they were, just like you and I. We have absolutely no excuse. And no one will say a word at that particular time in Revelation. And they will be cast where? Into the lake of fire. My friends, that's real. God is real. His word is real. Jesus Christ is real. I was to Israel about 6 years ago. The place is real. All the biblical names, many of them are still there. All the places are there. Jesus Christ was on the earth. Jesus Christ was God. Jesus Christ was in Genesis. He was the Word. And Jesus Christ died on Calvary's mountain for you and for me. And the moment I understood and believed it, and I said, Lord, yes, thank you for providing a way back to God for me. Thank you. Will you save me? Will you forgive me? And the Lord said, yes, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. He will not shut the door until someday he is coming back. That is the other thing. He could come back today. That's what we call the rapture. And he's coming back for those who are saved. But those who are not saved will be left behind. And that is scary too. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? You know, in a good illustration or a picture, go back to Genesis and we see that picture of the ark. Noah preached for many years to all those people around them. Guess what they did? They laughed. Guess what people will do today? If you preach to them, in most cases, they'll laugh. How could it be? It's going to rain? Never rained. Because the earth, before that, it was watered from beneath and dew and so on. And Moses said it's going to be a flood. But one day there started one little drop of rain, and then two, and then 100, and then thousands, and then it started pouring. And then water came up from above. And those who were in the ark were safe. And guess what? God shut the door. It wasn't man. And he left it open for so many years. And people would go up to that door. They would probably look in and everything. But they wouldn't go in because they laughed. Until one day God shut the door and it started to rain. And then they try to get in. Those who are in Christ are like those who are in the ark. Those who are without Christ are those who are outside. And they died. There was death. Where are you this morning? You don't have to please me. I can't save you. I am a nobody. All I'm doing is bringing a message to you from God's word. You have to believe it or you don't believe it. And you'll walk out of here with your mind made up. See, you will have a Godward change of mind, or you'll have your own mind and be like Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. Frank Sinatra is not in heaven today singing that song. No one will get into God's heaven their own way. It has to be God's way. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we bow in thy presence and in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for loving us. We thank thee, Father, for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Word of God, so plain, so simple. And Father, we pray that the Spirit of God would have freedom and liberty this morning to speak to our hearts, both saint and sinner alike. Those of us who are saved would warm our hearts, and those who are not saved, the Spirit of God would convict them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. Part us with thy blessings, we pray, for we ask it in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Could we sing one verse of number 62, and the meeting will be over? Number 62, one verse, last verse, just as I am. And my friends, this is how I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. just as I was. That night, in December 22nd, 1982, I came, I just said, Lord, I don't understand everything. I can't understand everything. But I read in your Bible that your son died for me, and I believe it. And God doesn't ask you to behave, he asks you to believe it. And when you believe it, with all your heart, God will save you. Verse 5 of number 62, and the meeting will be over. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, receive.